morning, everyone. Good morning. I want to thank Brother Doug for opening things up because I didn't know how the structure was. I know I've been here before, but you know, thinking about you doing it is different than actually being here and having Pastor Jim and others lead. So this morning, I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5 this morning. I appreciate the prayers. I appreciate the prayer earlier for me because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I'm the messenger. I've studied the Word of God. God has called me to preach, and I try to preach His Word according to His will and keep everything in context. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. You'd be amazed how many times I've preached a sermon. I'm sure Pastor Jim's preached a sermon. And you ask somebody, what they thought, what they got out of the message, and five different people will give you five different things. I'm like, oh, okay. And they were all part of the message, but they took it to heart in a different way because the Holy Spirit was the teacher. And I pray this morning, even yet, the Holy Spirit is your teacher this morning. I'm just a messenger, and I make mistakes, and hopefully this morning God will be glorified. That's why we're here. This morning I want to talk to you about certainties in an uncertain new year. Certainties in an uncertain new year. I don't know about you all, but my life when I was a kid, you know, I enjoyed life pretty well. I thought things went pretty good. And then as a young adult, I had my own struggles and everything. I was going through life. And, you know, there's always certain uncertainties. You know, there's always things that pop up and become uncertain. But it seems like where there's more of those nowadays. There's just so many things that you're just like, things that you trusted that would continue on, they've just changed. A lot of things have changed, and that makes us a little anxious. You know, I'm not a person that gets anxious very well. I'm not a person that gets stressed out very easily. But over the past several years, I've felt my stress levels go up to some extent, and I felt my anxiety enter up a little more. And, you know, I trust God. I trust God, and He'll take care. And if it's bothering me, it's definitely bothering my family because it bothers them a lot more than it does me. And I hear about it a lot as a result of that. But first of all, I want to talk about uncertainties in this life. Life itself, that's an uncertainty. Who has promise of tomorrow? None of us have promise of tomorrow. God could take us today. God could take us tomorrow. We don't have promise of that. Sometimes we think, well, so somebody's sick, you know, and we're praying for them to not lose their life. But every time we get in our car and go down the road, you know, that's an uncertainty. We don't know that we're going to make our destination. I'm thankful for those. I think for Brother David praying for Pastor and Farnsley's for safe travels. I've been praying for them for safe travels and praying that they'll have safe travels home. But every time every time my children get in the car and go somewhere, I'm praying them there and I'm praying them back. Does God hear those prayers? Absolutely. He hears those prayers, and He wants us to pray those prayers. Same thing with myself. My wife and children, they get in the car. I'm praying them there and praying them back. And we don't have uncertainty of tomorrow. You know, I heard of a preacher who was diagnosed over in Nashville with pancreatic cancer. And he was gone like within, what, 2 or 3 weeks, Brother Cliff? And, you know, two months before that, he probably didn't know that, hey, he was going to get cancer and die in 2 months. He didn't know that. And so there's uncertainties there in this life. Our health, we don't know if we're going to be sick or well today or tomorrow. I'm always praying for good health. I hate being sick. I don't get sick very often. And when I get sick, I'm like a big baby. You know, I try and muddle through it, but I don't seem to take it sometimes as good as my wife. Although in these years, I think I take it pretty good. But all of us, you know, there's people in my church right now that are sick. There are people in the hospital from our church right now that are sick. And that's an uncertainty. We're praying for them. We're praying that God will heal them, but we don't know. We don't know what God's will is there. The life of loved ones. Everybody in our church has lost loved ones in the last couple, 2, 3, 4 years. They just lost somebody really close to them, and that's hard. And that's an uncertainty. We don't know. My parents right now, they're up in years, and they're in fairly good health, but they've got, like my dad has medical conditions that 10 years ago, you know, we could have lost him. We don't know. But God's allowed him to keep going, and I just don't know how much longer he'll be here. I think, you know, he goes about his day and everything, and he does everything that he needs to, but his brothers, all of his brothers have passed away except for one, his oldest brother, who's been really extreme about taking care of his health. But we just don't know. We have people in our family that we could lose at any time. Car. Does everybody have a real reliable car and you just never have problems with it? Well, we don't. We drive older cars, so there's always questions of reliability. You know, if a light comes on or something like that, I'm like, oh no, what I got now? If I hear something rattling or something like that, it's just always something. And appliances, you know, you have appliances go out, and computers. I'm sure everybody has a computer that you never have problems with. You never have problems with your phone or your tablets or, now, there's uncertainties there, right? The more tech we got, the more problems we have, because we never know if things like that are going to break. And, you know, I didn't carry around a phone for years and years, and then I got one, and now I feel like I can't go without it. Somebody might try to have to call me, and for the most part, I don't care. But, you know, what if somebody called me, needed to get a hold of me? You know, it's always that emergency call that you want to be available for somebody in your family, and I understand that. And so there's uncertainties there on whether our devices are even going to work today or tomorrow or work well. What's other uncertainties? Family relationships. There's uncertainties there. I've had struggles in our family with different relationships. Even right now, as you pray for our family, there's relationships that are not where we want them to be. And so sometimes we go through relationship struggles with our children. We go through them with our parents. We go through them with our siblings. We go through them with other people in our family. And those are uncertainties. And we try and work through those things. Friendships, there's uncertainties there. Well, I thought they were my friend. They never call me. You ever have that problem? Well, I don't have it too much because I don't have that whole many, a lot of close friends. So that I don't worry about that too much. There was a time that I worried about it more, and I worried about it more for my wife because it seemed like the friendship calls went all one way, or writing all went one way and didn't seem to come back to her. And I was concerned for her more. But, you know, friendships come and go. And I tell my children all the time, friendships come and go, but your family's there for you. And hopefully your family's there for you. Hopefully your church family's there for you. What's other uncertainties? Job. Your job, you know. I've been at my job for several years, but I don't take it for granted that I'm going to have this job all this year also. I always pray and ask God to provide for my job. There's been times where I've had jobs I've really liked, and then all of a sudden my manager comes up and said, we have a new opportunity for you. We need to move you into a different area. They really need some help. And I'm like, okay. And I just have to do what they asked me to do. And those were good experiences, and they were stressful experiences, but we just don't know. You know, things like that happen and changes. Learning and education, skills, learning new skills. I've got children in my family. They're always learning new skills, all learning, educating themselves on different things, and sometimes there's uncertainties in that. I remember when my son was learning to program, he's teaching himself to program. He struggled through, and then he got to the point where he was feeling real good about himself, and then he'd run into another wall. And but those are uncertainties that we run into, but we just trust God and work through them. Now, we talked about some uncertainties in our life. Let's talk about some things that are certainties. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. While you're in chapter 5, if you want to hold your place, you can go there, because I'm going to read a few verses over in chapter 1. Because I want to give an introduction a little bit about from 1 John, in case you haven't read through 1 John lately. In 1 John chapter 1 through 4, it says, verse 1 through 4, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John's given testimony, isn't he? John's given a record, an account. Verse 2, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What's one of the reasons John wrote the book, the epistle, 1 John? So that our joy may be full. Is your joy full this morning? Are you full of joy? We should be full of joy at all times. A lot of times it's been described to me, people are happy temporarily, but as a Christian, you should have joy continuously. There should always be joy in your heart. No matter what happens in this life, if you're a Christian, you have eternal life. We're just passing through. No matter what suffering we go through in this life, and you will suffer at times, even if it's suffering as a result of losing a loved one, it's still suffering. As it's suffering going through a trauma, going through a loss, going through a hardship, you will suffer at times, but guess what? We're just passing through. Our home is in heaven. Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. He says, where your treasures are, there your heart, where your heart is, your treasures will be also. We lay our treasures in heaven. That's where our heart should be. And so we should have joy continuously. So I ask you to monitor yourself continuously that you would have joy. And if you don't have joy, you have to ask yourself, why? Why don't I have joy? What's going on? A lot of times it's a lack of trust, isn't it? It's lack of trusting God through this situation. It's a lack of trusting God that he can't take care of something that you're struggling with. And so we just have to trust him. But let's go on in 1 John chapter 5 as we look at some important things, some important certainties in 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 4, I want to pull out real quick. Brother Doug read that earlier. He read from 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And verse 4 there says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is a victory, right? Our faith overcometh the world. We are overcomers. If you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, you're an overcomer. Now, thinking about being overcomers, John wrote about that often in his epistles. And in my preaching, often, I always go back to the scripture because it's not about me. It's about what God has to say. So if I pull out too many scriptures, sorry about that, but that's, I just want God to be true. Let's go over to a Revelation as we look at, as far as overcomers in Revelation chapter 2. And I think Pastor Jim has been bringing you through Revelations, hasn't he? So some of these things you've probably already been to, but we're just going to bring it back out and pull them out of there and in thinking about in the mold of being an overcomer. In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that great? Verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Praise God for that. We don't have to worry about the second death. Verse number 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. We'll all receive a new name and a white stone. That's beautiful. If you've ever studied that, as far as the white stone and the beauty behind that. Verse number, chapter 2, verse number 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Do you know, as Christians, as overcomers, we have power over the nations? Boy, it seems like the world's against us right now, doesn't it? Our Christian worldview, the world is against. It's against that. But guess what? We have power over that. Well, how do we have power over that? I believe we have power over that through prayer. God's preserving us. God's providing for us. God's taking care of us. God keeps us and hides us through these things when the world wants to rise against us and against him. Because it's not that they hate us. They hate him. Jesus said that, right? Don't be upset if they hate you because it's me who they really hate. Let's go over to chapter 3, verse number 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. As an overcomer, you will be confessed by the Son to the Father. That's a fabulous thing to think about. God the Father talking, God the Son talking to the Father about you and I. Wow. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. It's only because of Christ that we are worthy. It's only because of him. Only because of his righteousness. Verse number 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. We're all given a new name. A new name. The Bible talks about in heaven, we'll know each other, we'll be known by each other. But it doesn't say how. It doesn't say we'll look the same. We don't know. God knows. And when we get there, we'll know. We'll know why we know these things. We'll be given a perfect knowledge that we don't understand right now. We got these fleshly brains that can only contain so much. If it had just a minuscule of the mind of God in it, it would just blow these brains apart because we couldn't handle these things. Why do I say this? Well, when you think about how big the universe is and everything that's in it, when you think about the microscopic of everything that God has created and think about that, it's just overwhelming. It's overwhelming that what God has created. And that he's done that, yet all these things that he's created, what does he care about? You and I. He cares about us. We're the only thing that's created to be eternal, mankind. Verse number 21 of chapter 3 says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Wow. As overcomers, we have access to all these things. Now let's continue on with certainties that we know as we look into the latter part of 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." As Christians, you and I know that we have eternal life. We know this. Why do we know this? Well, because the preacher told me. No, that's not how you know that. You know, I remember when I first started growing spiritually, I went to a church, and the pastor used that verse a lot whenever he presented the gospel. And at the time, I just listened and I absorbed it. And then I got to the point where I think that if preachers use that verse too much in the presenting of the gospel, they can kind of give the people a false understanding of the gospel. See, the gospel, it's not about saying a prayer. Saying a prayer doesn't save you. That doesn't save you. It's not about going to the altar. That doesn't save you. It's about God convicting you of your sins, you repenting and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what saves you. And the evidence is not that I said a prayer. The evidence is not that I went to a pulpit and I remembered that. Oh, I remember when I got saved. I remember the day. Now, that's not it. The evidence is how God changed you in your life. How he changed you and conformed you to be more like his Son, Christ, Jesus. What did Jesus say? "You shall know them by their fruits," right? I know when I got saved, at 6 years old, I went up to an altar and I prayed. And I asked the Lord to save me. And I remember as a little child, I kept praying. The preacher said, "Did you hear him? You hear him?" And just as a kid, I'm like, "Yeah, sure, I heard him." Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always believed in the Lord. I believed in Jesus. I felt like I trusted Jesus. But it wasn't until later on when I got married and as I was struggling and I hadn't really lived for the Lord in my teen years like I should have. And I came to the Lord and I knew that something went right in my life. And I remember on my bedside, I don't remember the day. I remember generally the year. I can remember where I was at the time, but I remember in our apartment, I just fell on the bed and I prayed and I asked God. I said, "Lord, if I'm not saved, save me now. And if I am saved, I want you to change my life. Change my life because I'm messing it up." And I believe that God saved me right then. Not because of what I specifically prayed, but because of what was in my heart. And because of what God did after that. Because I seen the evidence after that and how he changed my life. He gave me the desire to read his word. He gave me the desire to be in church and to enjoy church and to grow and to learn more and to do more for him. And he just gave me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and a hunger and thirst for his word. And he continually conformed me to be more like Christ. I haven't apprehended. I'm far from it. But that old life, I'm far from that. I'm far from where I was whenever I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And the reason I bring that out is because I want people to understand that you can know that you have eternal life. And who confirms that to you? The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit confirms that to you. And how he confirmed that to me is time and time again after I would question myself, am I really saved? Am I really saved? And then God would just give me a desire for more of him. He'd give me a desire for more of him. And he caused me to walk closer to him. He caused me to surrender in different areas of my life. And again, it's those fruits. I see the fruits. And because of those fruits back then, I seen that's when he saved me. And that's why I have full confidence that he saved me. And I know that I have eternal life. How do I know that? Because he promised me here in his word. He said that I can know for sure that I have eternal life. And you also, hopefully everyone here knows that, that they have eternal life. But if you don't, for some reason, go to the Lord. It's never too late. It's never too late to swallow pride. That's what I had to do whenever I bowed my knee and fell before the Lord. Then I had to swallow the pride because I said, if I'm not saved, save me. Because I knew that there's a good possibility I wasn't saved. And I believed that I wasn't saved at that time. And then God did save me. Verse number 14, as we continue on. So know, the first point, know that ye have eternal life. That's one thing we can know. That's uncertainty that we can know. Verse number 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Know that God hears you. He hears me, and we have the petitions that we desire of him. How do we know that for sure? Well, when we're praying in his will, right? We're praying in his will. He gives us all that we desire. If we pray outside of his will, then he's not going to give that to us, right? If you don't pray, God, take my life because I'm sick of it here. No, God's not going to give you that just because you prayed that. He's not going to give you that because that's not his will. If you're here, you're here for a reason. And he has work to do through you. It's like my mom for years, she's like, oh, pray that the Lord will take me home soon. I'm just sick of being here. I'm ready to go home. I don't care. I'm not afraid of that. Mom, God has you here. I've told her that time and time again. God has you here. And my wife and my children will say, grandmother, you know that you need to be here. And my wife will give her a hard time and say, mom, you need to be here. Why? Because my mom, she'll share the gospel with people. She'll tell people like it is. She's just one of those people that she'll say things. I'll hear her and dad will be out, and then dad will tell me where she was sharing the gospel with somebody, and he's like, I don't know. She just does that, and I thank God that she does that, but she just says whatever God puts on her heart, and you hear what she says, and you're like, man, I don't know if I would have said that. And I can't get by with saying things that she says because she's older than me, and people just take her in a different way than they would me. See, I've lost a lot of friends by saying things that I, for the gospel's sake. And that's all right. You know, I'm not worried about that. That happens. If God moves you to do it, say it. Don't worry about whether you're going to lose the friend or not if God's pressing upon you to. Because if God calls you to witness to somebody, a friend or coworker or somebody, and you know that it might end your relationship, I would rather them end that relationship with me and them stand up from hell and say, well, he told me. Then from them to stand up from hell and say, well, he knew. Why didn't he tell me? Why didn't he tell me? I knew that he knew, but he never shared the truth with me. See, it's not this world, right? It's the next we're working for. Verse number, so we can know that we have that God hears us, second point. And third, know that we have petitions we desire of him. We can know these things for sure. These are certainties that we can know. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Know this, we can know that God's children do not continue in sin. God's children do not continue in sin. And we can also know the wicked one has no power over the redeemed. Are you afraid of Satan? No reason to be. He doesn't have power over you. Are you afraid of what Satan can do in the lives and of your unbelieving family and friends? Well, that's a good fear to have because he could take them to hell with him, and that's a good fear to have. But we have warfare, right? We can go to God in prayer and petition him on their behalf. And so we got to fight the battles. We got to stay in the battles. 1 John, hold your place there in 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at a couple verses over in 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, if you keep that in context, if you understand the whole scriptures there, what John is saying is that if you're a Christian, you're not going to sin at all. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying if you continue in sin, you're not born of God. Do you know there's a lot of people in churches today that are in sin, continuing sin, that they're not Christians? They'll say they're Christians, and other people will say they're Christians, but they're not. How do I know that? Because they're continuing in sin. I'm not judging them. I'm fearful that that's where they're at, that they're lost. And if somebody asks me, hey, you know, so-and-so does this, this, and that, I'll say, don't judge them. Pray for them. Pray for them because there's a good possibility they're lost. They think they're safe, and they're deceiving themselves. This scares me. This concerns me. I believe a lot of people will be in hell that thought they were going to heaven. And I think there'll be people in heaven that maybe others thought they were going to hell. Well, you got to harmonize the scriptures, right? It's all about the scriptures. The Bible also talks about those who will become unfruitful at some point in time, but yet they're still saved. Their works will be burned up, but they'll still be saved, they themselves. So there's people that go through a hardship in their life, and for some reason they've been derailed, and as a result of it, then they die. And then what happens is I believe that they'll be in heaven, but you know, a lot of their testimony was destroyed to some extent, but they didn't trust in their testimony. They trusted in Jesus Christ. They trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't want to be in that spot, and we don't want people to be in that spot. I hate when I go to the funeral and I just don't know. I just don't know if the person is saved or not. I love it when I go to a funeral and the person's saved and people are glorifying God because they know they're in heaven. I'm thankful for that. The worst funerals to go to is those that you don't know, or those that you know they're lost and they're on the way to hell and everybody knows it and you're just in grief because they never believed on the Lord Jesus. And that's an awful place to be. But on another hand, I'm glad to be there because I can still proclaim the gospel to the lost family and hope that their family yet gets saved. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. John says here in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There, that's how I can say that, you know, we're all going to sin at some point because we're battling this flesh. But that's why we can confess our sins and go before him and keep ourselves cleansed of all unrighteousness. But those who continuing sin, there's a good possibility that they are not of God. They're yet still lost. The Bible tells us you'll know them by their fruits. Verse number 19, as we continue on. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We can know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world's in wickedness. Think about that. I understand that more today than I did 5 years ago. A lot more than 10 years ago or 15 years ago. I see the corruption around us. It's awful. It's disgusting. The corruption that we see. If you watch the news, I warn you, because I just see lies all the time in the news. I see lies with our politicians. I see lies with our government. Our government's lying to us. Our law agencies are lying to us. They're just full of corruption everywhere. I feel like Washington, D.C. is just Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. And I don't really want to go there. I just don't. It's our nation's capital, and if I went there, I'd probably try and appreciate the historical things there. But I don't know. I'd probably have to take a shower or something after I left there. Same thing with some of these states and some of the things that they partake in. California, I have no desire to go there. New York City, I have no desire to go there. To me, it's just like taking yourself. Now, I say that, but if God called me there, guess what? I'd have to go there. I'd have to go there. Why? Because there are sinners there, and they still need salvation. So I thank God for those churches that are in those areas, and we should pray for them, those churches, that they can proclaim the gospel and that they can reach the lost there. And that's what we should do. We should pray for those places. We should pray for our politicians to get saved, even ones that they say they're saved and say they're Christians. Pray for them too, because I think a lot of them need to get saved also. And our government, pray for the people in government. I don't care how much you don't like them. I don't care how much you say you can't trust them. Just pray for them. Pray for them to get right with God. That should be our heart's desire for them. Know that right now in our church, I've been preaching through Genesis, and I'm on Genesis chapter 3, and I've been there a couple of weeks, and I don't know how long I'll be there, but in Genesis chapter 3, you have to understand this world. When Adam partook of the fruit, he plunged our whole world into sin and depravity and wickedness. And it's always going to be there until God destroys it. It is. And we're in this world, and we can pray that it'll get better. And guess what? Sometimes it might get better, and it'll get worse. And that's what does history say? It's gotten better, and it's gotten worse in different places and different nations. But in general, it's always going to be wicked. It's always going to be corrupt, because it is. Until God destroys it and creates a new heaven and a new earth, we're just going to have to pray through it. He's put us here this time. He's put us here in this time, you know, like in Esther, for such a time as this. You and I are seeing these days. Our children, we think about our children. Man, I don't know what our children are going to have to look at. Well, God put them here for right now. So hopefully we can build upon them a strong foundation, and they can make the difference in the world. Just being light and being salt. They may not change the world, but if they're light and salt, they're being what God's asked them to be. So we can know, again, that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We're of God. Christ did all those great things that he did, and when they came down to crucify him, where was his friends? He was all alone. He was by himself, wasn't he? They scattered his sheep. Those that were his disciples, they were afraid and they were fearful, but Christ went through the crucifixion. He was all alone. Sometimes you and I might feel alone, all alone, but what he says, I promise never to leave you nor forsake you. So even if we felt like we were all by ourselves, see, we got the church, and Christ established the church because he knew that we would need the church. But even if we were all alone, if we were sitting in a prison somewhere in a foreign land, guess what? God's still there with us. He's still there with us. Verse number 21. John wraps up this chapter and says, "Let little children keep yourselves from idols." We know God's Son has come and given us understanding that we may know him, the source of all truth, and we are in him. Did I skip a verse? Let's go verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Sorry about that. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. We know God's Son has come and given us understanding that we may know him, him being the source of all truth, and we are in him, even his Son, Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. He is eternal life, and he is the true God. Verse 21, stay away from false gods, John warns here. He says here, Jesus is the true God, and then he says, hey, don't stay away from false gods. Do you know there's false gods that are in the Bible that are mentioned, and different gods that are mentioned, Baal and Ashtaroth, and what's the other one, Aaron? Moloch. And you know, we don't see their names, and we don't see people openly worshiping those gods. But guess what? Their evil works that people are doing today are the same things that people were doing then, worshiping those gods. They were sacrificing their children and throwing them in the fire. What are we doing as a nation? Yes. We're killing babies every day. As a nation, we've sacrificed our children. It's disgusting. One of those gods have to do with a transgender. It's a transgender god. Yep. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have thought that this stuff would have crept up nowadays. But guess what? It's nothing new. It's been there. It's corruption. Yes. And so these things are of these false gods. And so we can recognize them, that they're demonic, and that's what they are. We need to pray that God would keep us from these things and keep our children from them, and that God would help us to be about the gospel, that he'd raise up laborers for the harvest. There's a lost world here. They're in desperate need of salvation. How did we get this far? Maybe Christians haven't been doing what they need to be doing. Maybe that's how we've gotten that far. Maybe we've accepted all these people that call themselves Christians that weren't really Christians. And so as we compromise, as churches have compromised and compromised, guess what? Even as our politics has found us swinging out here, I've seen the churches, we found them swinging out here to be like the world. They're a part of the world. So we want to stay away from these false gods. And one of the worst gods is not those gods I named, but it's the God that people calls God, or they call Jesus, and in their mind they've created a different God, or they've created a different Jesus, one that suits their own needs and their own desires, one that isn't according to scriptures, but is according to what I want, what I think, and what I feel. Guess what? It's not about what I want, think, and feel. It's about what thus saith the Lord. What does God say in his word? And if anybody ever tells me what they... One of the worst things I hate to hear is this, well, don't you think God... No, we don't go there. Let's see what God did say. Not what I think God says or does, but what does God say in his word? He's pretty clear. You can find the character of God pretty clearly in his word if you'll just study it and understand it and trust the Holy Spirit to teach it to you. So we can know the true God, Jesus Christ. But we can pray for those that don't know the true God. Some that, well, I believe in Jesus, but I think it's all right for me to live with my person here over here and not be married. I still believe in Jesus. Well, no, you're missing. You're not believing in the same Jesus. Jesus, and according to God's word, he gave one man and one woman to live, to come together in marriage, in the bounds of marriage, in holy matrimony for one lifetime. That's God's desire. Now we know that things happen, and sometimes that can be broken, and but God can repair those things. But no matter what it is, no matter what it is, well, you know, people that think, well, I can go to the bar, okay, and I believe in Jesus, and I'm a Christian, and I can go to the bar and spend times on the weekends, and, you know, God's all right with a little bit of alcohol. The Bible says a drunkard shall not enter to heaven, so be careful about that. Well, one sip of alcohol puts you in hell? No, it's not about that. It's about understanding God. God goes through the scripture many times, and he warns about wine and strong drink. So we need to be careful of these things. But then you take the compliment there. Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his belly. Well, you got to understand the culture and the context and everything. They had tainted water. They needed clean water. You know, I believe Timothy, when he drank that little bit of wine with his water, it helped clean his water so he could drink it. Wine had a little bit of medicinal, and it was a different, I think, wine than what we a lot of times have today. So know the truth about the scriptures. Know the truth about things. To recap, certainties that we know in this uncertain new year. We can know that we have eternal life. We can know that for sure. We can know that God hears us and know that we have petitions we desire of him. We can know that God's children do not continue in sin and know the wicked one has no power over the redeemed. We can know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know God's Son has come and given us understanding that we may know him, the source of all truth, and we are in him, even his Son, Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. He is the true God. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your mercy, for your grace, for your love. Lord, help us to abide in your love, Lord. Help us to be about the gospel. Help us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, Lord. We've looked to your word today, Lord. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to truths. Lord, whether it be something new, whether it be something reinforced that we've learned in the past, Father, we just want to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. You told us that we're predestined to be like Christ, Lord. And we want to be like him. And we want to give him all power, all honor, and all glory today. Father, again, I pray for those traveling, Lord, that you keep them safe and bring them home safely, and that you would bless them. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us today and help us to be a blessing. Empower us as a church body, Lord, that we can be about the gospel, that you guide us and direct us through the Spirit to witness to those that you would give us a divine appointments with, Lord. And that you would shut our mouth when we need to shut it, Lord. There's times that we need to be silent and listen. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The song was...